The question today is, what is the 70th week of Daniel? This is part number two. Yesterday we dealt with Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 24 through 27. And we showed his vision that he had about the time of the Medo-Persian Empire when it was in rule, how that God was going to restore Judah, or at least back to their homeland, and rebuild Jerusalem. That would be the the walls and whatnot, everything, and restore it to its natural order. And he gave a commandment was given to go back and restore. And he said there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 62 weeks. And then there's going to be a division, a time, you see. And this carried us up to the time the Messiah would be cut off. The first 49 years or 7 weeks of years would be the time that Jerusalem would be restored back to, in essence, what it was in the beginning, restoration of its affairs to the former state. And then would begin immediately the 434 years or the 62 week of years, and that would come about the time Malachi was written and go through the dark time of between Malachi and Matthew when there was no open revelation, and then the Messiah would be cut off. And we said that that was probably about A.D. 29 because of the fact Jesus was not born at zero as far as our calendar's concerned, because the calendar's off. He was born about 4 B.C. because King Herod, who tried to kill the baby Jesus, which was a young child really at the time he killed him, was actually died about 4 B.C., I believe, something along that time. I don't know the exact date, but it was earlier than, it was long about that time. So Jesus was born about 4 B.C., died around 28, 29 B.C., and that's when the Messiah would be cut off. At that time, God took out the natural olive branch out of the olive tree and grafted in the Gentile church. And we're the wild olive branch that's been grafted in. And since that time, God's not dealt with Israel. There's been no, of course, later, in a short time later, A.D. 70, allowed Roman Empire to come over and destroy the temple so that the Jews would not go through the motion of offering sacrifices and whatnot in their temple. And so it's destroyed. The Ark of the Covenant is lost. They've not been able to find it since that time. But it said one day that a prince is going to come and restore the covenant with many for 1 week. And that's when the Antichrist comes on the scene, as we read in the book of Revelation, chapter number 6, and said that he comes with riding a white horse with a bow and no arrow. He'll be coming with a message of peace, and he'll be a smooth talker. And many of the so-called world leaders have been that in the past, and we'll maybe have more in the future before this one actually comes on the scene. But he'll definitely be empowered by the beast of Revelation. And he'll make the covenant of the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years. Now, people have a mislabeling those 7 years, and they call it the 7-year tribulation period. That's not Bible. That's not right. And that's what messes people up on rightly dividing the 70th week of Daniel, which is 7 years long. Now, when he comes on the scene, he's going to make a covenant with many, and he'll have credentials, of course, satisfying the Jews to be the Messiah. But as we've seen of late, that it's easy for that to happen. So they can do anything along that line, not even be right. But still, he'll have credentials to show that he is from the tribe of Judah, because that's who the Messiah had to come from, and therefore the Jews will accept him. And what he's going to do to help them accept him, he's going to rebuild a temple. Now, right now, the Mosque of Omar sits on the temple site, and we don't know what exactly is going to happen. We know that there's a possibility that temple might have to be destroyed, and if that happened, that would really infuriate the Arab people. Back in the Persian Gulf situation back a few years ago, when the Scud missiles was coming in from Iraq and being shot over to Jerusalem, I was wondering if one of those Scud missiles was going to destroy the Mosque of Omar on the Temple Mount. It would have been something if it had, because the Arabs might not have got some mad, or at least not mad at the Jews for that. But then also there's a possibility, they say now, that both temples can coexist on that mount. I understand that now there's a possibility that at times that the the priests, or at least the rabbis of the Jewish people, are able to walk the Temple Mount. That wasn't possible before because it belonged to the Muslims and the Mosque of Omar situation there. But they say there's a possibility that the temple could be rebuilt there on that same site, at least side by side. And that would fulfill, at least the Antichrist would have a man with a plan. He could get this done. And this would satisfy the Jews where they could start offering sacrifices again in this temple and fulfill their Old Testament typology. Really is all it was. You see, Jesus fulfilled it, but they missed him. And so they're looking for the Messiah, and they think this man that's riding this white horse is going to be the Messiah. And he allows him to go back and begin to construct the temple. And by the way, this temple can be built overnight. Hadn't been too many years ago till I heard on the news and that there was, I think, 29 or 39 people that were killed because they tried to set the cornerstone on that western wall. And I believe all those stones are already cut. I believe they can come in, and with their capability and the technology we have today and the machinery we have today, that temple can be built overnight. And sacrifices begin to be offered like the Old Testament types were. And the Jews are going to think they have reached all kind of really blessed because they're going to receive the Messiah. Thinking he is the Messiah, but he's the anti-Messiah. He's the Antichrist. He's riding a white horse with a bow and no arrow. Now, Revelation chapter 6 says in verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And they went out another horse. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. Now, you see, he through peace, the Antichrist made peace with many nations, but there's still some other renegade nations out there, renegade as far as he's concerned, that wouldn't submit to that covenant he made with those many people. And so he's going to begin to subject those into coming under his domain. He's going to be king of all. He wants to overrun all of them, the Antichrist does. And so war breaks out, and he's going to conquer. Now, war, a red horse, is a sign of bloodshed, which is a sign of war. And this war will probably be of nuclear involvement. It may be the Third World War. It could be the Fourth World War, because we may have another one before then. We don't know when it is or how quick it is on the scene. But those that's been saved by the grace of God will be able to, we're of the day, we're not of the night. And as these things begin to unfold, then you're going to see that, that it's about time for the Lord to come back and set up his kingdom. About time to come back and pour out the wrath upon this earth. We'll get into that because that all occurs in the 70th week of Daniel. So I'll try to put it in perspective, the 70th week of Daniel, okay? And try to look at that. Now, this white horse rider and the red horse rider, which is probably war, is in the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Since war causes a shortage of food, it probably kills off some crops. It causes famine. It upsets the atmosphere, plus the fact there'd be nuclear involvement. No doubt the earth be destroyed by the nuclear involvement and not even able to produce fruit food. And what's going to happen? The third horse rider comes on the scene. As he opens the third seal, he said, "I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he said, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" So he said, "His famine's come." Now, you realize what it's saying when he has this pair of balances and says, "A measure of wheat for a penny." That means you can get enough bread, enough wheat to make bread for one person, for one meal, for one day. What's going to happen if you've got a large family? I mean, what's even going to happen to you? It's going to be a great worldwide famine at that time because probably of the nuclear involvement. But God said this is what's going to happen in the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. And so then what happens, of course, when there's famine and people are hungry and they're going to fight, they're going to more of them be killed trying to steal food and whatnot. But the fourth horse rider comes on the scene, and it says there, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice," in Revelation 6, 7, "I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. So it's going to be a great time when there's going to be a lot of people die in the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. This is when the Antichrist is coming on the scene. Makes it look good, but then all hell is going to break loose. Now, the Bible says in the book of the vision that Daniel had, he said, let me go back and read that again. And he said in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 9:27 of Daniel. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So he said that in the middle of the week, that's 3.5 years, into the 70th week of Daniel, he's going to cause the oblation and sacrifice cease. Now what had happened at this time, Israel had accepted him. They had been going through the motion for about 3.5 years, and as a result, they were having their temple worship like they had in the Old Testament time to a degree, yet no God was meeting with them. And yet in the middle of that 70th week of Daniel, he causes the sacrifice to cease. This is what Matthew refers to in Matthew 24, when the disciples, four of them, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, said, what's going to happen? When's the sign of his coming? When's the sign of all these things coming to pass? And there's many signs given in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. But in verse 15 of Matthew 24, he said this to those disciples, when ye... Now those disciples represent the New Testament church, represents you and I that are saved by the grace of God. In other words, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now he said he's going to stand in the holy place. What's going to happen at that time? He's going to stand, the Antichrist is going to stand in the holy place as God himself. And that desecrates even the typology of the temple that God allowed to be built. Because you see, it's an abomination. It's disgusting. It's detestful. And probably from the book of Revelation, this man will be a homosexual. And that's abomination and detesting too. But he's going to put himself up as God. Now, I don't know what all will be involved or what he'll do. But I know it's time. Back in the time and during the dark time between Malachi and Matthew, there was a man who fulfilled the closeness of that of this prophecy, because most prophecy has a near closeness to us, and yet a future out yonder. And Antiochus Epiphanes offered a sow upon the altar that really angered the Jews. And so whenever he stands on that altar and takes away the sacrifice and says he's God, the Jews is going to know that they received the wrong one. He is not the Messiah. So I'll deal more with this tomorrow. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.